Chapter 4. Church Policies. Church Organization. The church must be organized to carry out and enforce order, or it will scatter into fragments. I was shown that some have been fearing they should become Babylon if they organize. But the churches in central New York have been perfect Babylon, confusion. And now, unless the churches are so organized that they can carry out and enforce order, they have nothing to hope for in the future. Medical missionary work must not stand aloof from church organization. Temptations will come to you to think that, in order to carry forward the medical missionary work, you must stand aloof from church organization or church discipline. To stand thus would place you on an unsound footing. The work done for those who come to you for instruction is not complete unless they are educated to work in connection with the church. Preachers should not unite their influence with critics of the church. When plied with the arguments and suggestions of such advisors, it would be well for us each to inquire, should I, who am a Christian, a child of God, one called to be the light of the world, a preacher of righteousness, who have so often expressed my confidence in the truth and the way in which the Lord has led us, should I unite my influence with those who bitterly oppose the work of God? Should I, a steward of the mysteries of God, open to his worst enemies the counsels of his people? Would not such a course embolden the wicked in their opposition to the truth of God and to his covenant-keeping people? Would not such concession prevent me from opening my lips in exhortation, warning, or entreaty in my own family or in the church of God? If Paul or Peter were placed in similar circumstances, would he thus betray a sacred trust? Ministerial ordination. Ordination is the church's public recognition of a divine appointment. The Christian church was at this time entering upon an important era. The work of proclaiming the gospel message among the Gentiles was now to be prosecuted with vigor, and as a result, the church was to be strengthened by a great ingathering of souls. The apostles who had been appointed to lead out in this work would be exposed to suspicion, prejudice, and jealousy. Their teachings concerning the breaking down of the middle wall of partition, Ephesians 2, verse 14, that had so long separated the Jewish and the Gentile world, would naturally subject them to the charge of heresy, and their authority as ministers of the gospel would be questioned by many zealous, believing Jews. God foresaw the difficulties that his servants would be called to meet, and, in order that their work should be above challenge, he instructed the church by revelation to set them apart publicly to the work of the ministry. Their ordination was a public recognition of their divine appointment to bear to the Gentiles the glad tidings of the gospel. By the laying on of hands, the church authorizes ministers to teach, baptize, and organize churches. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Acts 13, verse 1 and 2. Before being sent forth as missionaries to the heathen world, these apostles were solemnly dedicated to God by fasting and prayer and the laying on of hands. Thus they were authorized by the church not only to teach the truth, but to perform the rite of baptism and to organize churches, being invested with full ecclesiastical authority. Before ordination, ministers should give evidence that they have dedicated themselves to the work. There must be evidence on the part of those who take the solemn position of shepherds that they have, without reservation, dedicated themselves to the work. They must take Christ as their personal Savior. Hands are laid upon men to ordain them for the ministry before they are thoroughly examined as to their qualifications for the sacred work. But how much better would it be to make thorough work before accepting them as ministers than to have to go through this rigid examination after they have become established in their position and have put their mold upon the work?